The purpose of sharing our redemption stories are not to glorify our past sins. They're to remind us that we were sinners who needed to be saved by God's grace. Me sharing my redemption story today is not so that you can put me on a pedestal, but that you would magnify my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The third thing that I want to just kind of warn you about with sharing our redemption stories is some of you might say today, well, my story is far different than Pastor Matt's. I may not speak as well as Pastor Matt. I may not have been delivered from things that Pastor Matt was delivered from. And so it's hard for me to share my redemption story. The point that I want you to get today is that if you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have a redemption story to share for His glory. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at this verse that's behind me. And then I would like to share with you just a part of my redemption story. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says this: In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Would you pray with me again this morning? Ah, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that He was willing to suffer. He was willing to take my shame, and most importantly, my guilt and my sin. And so today, Lord, as I share about the redemption that we know and that we can have through Jesus Christ the Lord, my prayer is, Jesus, that You would be magnified, that You would be lifted up and exalted, that the people would see and hear from me today a new song, a hymn of praise that You have put in my mouth, that many would see and fear and put their trust in You. They would understand these pieces and parts of my redemption story are because of You. That I would not stand here today in front of these folks and share this story if it wasn't for You shedding Your blood for my personal sins. And so today, Lord, I pray that all that I speak of would shine a spotlight upon You, that You would be magnified for all to see the redemption that we have in You. We thank You. We praise You. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What's today's date? Look on the front of your bulletin if you're not sure. Hopefully I have it right. Sunday, February 23rd. February 23rd, 2002 started for me like any other day. I was preparing to go to work. I was a factory worker in Newton, Iowa, assembling washing machines for Maytag, the dependability people. You see, in Newton, after graduating from high school, there were typically a few paths that young men would take. One would be to go off to a college and attain a degree, or most would stay in Newton and work at the factory. Obviously, I chose to work in the factory. In my normal daily preparations for work, I would pack a lunch. Sometimes Sherry would pack it for me. Sometimes I would pack my own. It just depended on what was going on in our lives. I'd grab my work boots, safety glasses, earplugs, and head out the door for work. For me, work was just a few miles away. I would travel what was called the Beltline. It was just a looping highway that would travel towards the factory. My normal routine was to smoke marijuana before I went to work. I was a chronic marijuana smoker. That means, for those of you that don't understand, that when I got up in the morning, I smoked marijuana. When I packed my lunch, I smoked marijuana. When I drove in my vehicle, I smoked marijuana. Before I went to work, I smoked marijuana. At my lunch break, I smoked marijuana. And as I would go home after work, I would smoke marijuana. Some of you are thinking, that's not a normal routine, right? It's a good thing. You should think that. That's not a normal routine. But this day was different. This day in February was drastically different. You see, Sherry and I had been attending a small country church. It was the church Sherry was raised in, the church we were married in. We only thought it would be proper and fitting with the birth of our firstborn child to start attending church again. Now, Sherry was more for this than I was. I thought it was the worst idea ever and the craziest idea ever. Why would we want to start going to church again? And especially a little country church out in the middle of nowhere. But being the good, loving husband that I am, I went along with my wife. Right, guys? That's what you do. You go along with them. This church is still on the National Historical Site Registry. It was an old church. As you went into the church building, it was a small coat closet. We always joked, "Welcome to our coat closet," because that was the first thing you would see. There were stairs that went up to the church sanctuary and stairs that went down to the small, musty, mildewy-smelling church basement. Traveling up to the church sanctuary, you were met by a beautiful building. It was a nice building, taken care of well over the many years. The church didn't have any dynamic ministries. There was no church nursery. But there were people who gathered together in that place who loved Jesus. And you would walk into that place and you would understand that there was something special, not about this building, though it was a special building, but about these people, not because of who they were, but because of who they constantly directed people to. I can remember sitting at the back of the church, and this isn't against anybody that's sitting in the back of the church, but I would sit as far as possible because I didn't want to be there. And I know you guys want to be here. You're just sitting in the back because you have reasons to sit in the back. Right, Tony? Yeah. And every Sunday when the pastor got up for service, he would preach right to me. And I was certain that Sherry was meeting with him outside of Sunday services and telling him things about me because that's how impactful the messages were for me. I was always challenged and always convicted, but in reflection, I didn't change. You've been there, haven't you? Oh, that message was great. I was challenged by it. I was convicted. And then tomorrow was the same thing. And for me, that happened week after week, week after week, week after week. Also, in that time frame, there was a deacon in the church who was actually Uncle Gary, Sherry's uncle, and he would stop me after every Sunday and he would say, "Matt, would you like to go through this discipleship program with me?" And I was like, "What is discipleship?" And he's like, "We sit down and study the Bible." No, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Okay, next week. He would ask me the same question. Week after week after week, he kept asking me these questions. I played softball with him. Church League softball. I saw his character. I saw his love for this Lord. I worked with him at Maytag. We would interact and cross paths every once in a while, two different places. I would see his character and his integrity at work. I met him, obviously, at family reunions and family get-togethers. There was something about Uncle Gary that just shined. Everything about him poured out his love for Jesus Christ. And so finally, one Sunday, he asked me again, "Would you like to go through this discipleship program?" And I said, "Yeah, why not?" You see, we would sit down one-on-one and study God's Word. I think it was probably after the third or fourth week of Gary coming to my home and sitting in my living room and opening up God's Word to me that something hit me. Gary prayed for us as he typically did, and left. And as I told you before, I was a chronic marijuana smoker. So as he left, I thought, well, I'm going to go out into our little breezeway and do what I normally do. And as soon as I walked out there, I thought, I'm a fake. If I am understanding what the Scriptures are telling me, and I'm believing what I'm beginning to believe, and if I'm telling Gary that this is who I am, something isn't matching up here. Fast forward now, that was a little rewind, back to February 23rd, 2002, the day I was driving down that gravel road. I stopped at the bottom of a hill. I can still see that gravel road with the small bridge with a creek running through it, and something overwhelmed me that day. Better yet, someone did. I can remember saying something similar to this: "If you're real God, then save me." That was my flowery salvation prayer. I didn't walk an aisle, didn't raise my hand, I didn't have somebody say you have to do A, B, C, and D. I just said, "God, if this is all real, save me." That was my cry to Him. And I can remember taking my marijuana pipe and chucking it as far as I can in that creek. I can remember taking that bag of marijuana and dumping it out and crumpling up the bag. I littered that day and littered. Drove to work, got to work, and I picked up the phone. I didn't care who was around. There was a break area. We had a phone there, and I picked it up, and I was crying, and I said, "Sherry, something drastic has happened." And she said, "Oh no, what?" And I said, "I think God just saved me." And we shed some tears together. And I said, "You have to get rid of everything." She said, "What do you mean, everything?" I said, "Any drugs I have in the house, throw them in the garbage. Whatever you have to do with them, pour the alcohol out." No one had taught me this. It wasn't like the pastor had been preaching, "You need to get rid of these things, clean up your life." The Holy Spirit of God just overwhelmed me and said, "You need to change your life. This is my redemption story, remember? Yours may be a little bit different, maybe similar in some ways, but this is all for God's glory." And I love Sherry to death. I wish she was up here. She's downstairs, but she's very analytical. She's systematic when she thinks through things, and especially when it comes to throwing drugs into your garbage can. What if the garbage man finds it? What if the police find it? I'm like, I don't care. We'll deal with it if they find it, and we'll tell them what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. Anyway, she said, "I'll throw those things away." And that's exactly what she did. My life was forever changed on February 23rd, 2002. And that's why I share my redemption story with you today. Because today is a very important day for me. We have birthday celebrations all the time, don't we? This is my birthday celebration. I was born again, a believer in Jesus Christ. And some of you may be thinking, oh, well, that wasn't very long ago. Really, it wasn't. But I think you can see what God has done in my life. And I give thanks and praise to Him. I also want to share with you just a little bit of a backstory because I just have to. You see, as an adolescent, I think you need to know what got me to that point. As an adolescent and as a teenager, I turned to alcohol and to drug abuse and many other sinful things in an attempt to cope with pain. Let me say that. In an attempt to cope with pain. I grew up in a loving Christian home. My mother took us to church every Sunday. She was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was involved as a leader in the church for a short period of time until something happened. My dad taught me values. My mother taught me to go to church. I was baptized as an infant in the Lutheran church. I was confirmed as a teenager, which means I stood in front of everybody and said, I understand the Word of God, I've memorized verses, and I believe. And I truly believe because I was sprinkled as a baby, I believed this. And because I learned some Bible verses, and because I stood in front of the church, and I said I believed that I was good with God. That's all I had to do. It's done. I'm good with God. Then something happened to me. A family member abused me. A family member that was very close to me. A family member that claimed to be a Christian. A family member who we spent almost every weekend with. Ongoing abuse over and over and over and over again, and I blamed God. I began to use drugs and alcohol, as I said, to cope with that sin. Sin that was against me, terrible sin. But also to deal with my own sin. Because really, I can't blame it on that sin against me. Because I have enough of my sin of my own to separate me from God. But that sin did impact me. It really still does. I turned to the things of this world to comfort me, to help me, to take away that pain, to cover my sin, and to cover the shame of the sin that someone else did to me. It wasn't until someone opened up God's Word, and through the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit and a godly man, that I began to realize the bad things in my life. The sin. The sin could never be covered up. The sin could never be outweighed by being a good husband or a good factory worker or a good dad. So I came to the realization that I needed to be redeemed. I had heard these truths as a child. I memorized Bible verses. I grew up in a Christian home. We did religious things. But because of my sin and the sin that influenced me, I could blame everybody else. And I could try and cover it up. You see, I tell you this morning because this is my redemption story. There were so many things at work in my life, God using godly men to direct me to Him, the Word of God being passionately and powerfully proclaimed Sunday after Sunday, people pouring in my life even when I failed them again and again, pain and hurt being dealt with year after year, a wife who was torn between two worlds. Sherry was saved at an early age at a camp. Convicted by the Holy Spirit, many times she would say, that is wrong. Yet she would still go along with her husband. Yet on February 23rd, 2002, Jesus Christ became my Lord and Savior. He saved me. He redeemed me. He redeemed me from the mud and the mire. He redeemed a young man steeped in sin. He redeemed me through his blood. Now, many of you know there's much more to my redemption story than that. But God, for some reason, prompted me to share that with you all today. You need to hear that there is redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to his grace. You need to hear that on a daily basis. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and have been redeemed, then may I encourage you that you have a redemption story to tell. It doesn't sound like mine. It's yours. You have a Redeemer who bought you with his precious blood. And so this morning I share with you my redemption story. A sinner saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's three things that stand out to me. I'm a preacher, right? So there has to be three things. Three things that stand out to me. First, I thought I was a good person. I thought I was a good person who did religious things that would outweigh the sin. And yet I constantly tried to cover up my sin. And I never found freedom from that sin until I allowed it to be exposed by Jesus Christ. Does it still hurt? Do I still deal with stuff? Of course I do. I could finally understand, this is the second thing, thought I was a good person who could cover up my sin and cope with it, with the things of this world. The second thing I noticed was that it was through the preaching and teaching and the study of the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active. It was that, being pointed to the Word of God consistently, that I realized that I was a sinner, that I was a fake, that I needed to change, that I needed to be redeemed. And I also noted that there were people who were willing to speak truth into my life when I needed it the most. Someone who was willing to sit down and take time out of their day to study of the Word of God with me. Someone who diligently chased after me week after week. Now, we all know that God was at work. God is the one who draws lost souls. He draws individuals unto himself. But he uses people just like you in between to point people to him. He did it in your life, did he not? If you're a redeemed believer in Jesus Christ, there are people you should be able to think of right now that were consistently pointing you to Jesus Christ, to his word, to spiritual things. So one, I thought I was a good person who could cover my sin. Two, the Word of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, alongside faithful people who loved Jesus pouring into my life. And then third, it's by God's grace. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to be reminded that we are gathered together in this place because of his grace. I need to be reminded on a daily basis that Christ died for me, that he willingly, obediently, sacrificially went to the cross of Calvary to pour out his blood for your sins, for mine. That should cause me to bow at the cross of Jesus Christ and be reminded daily that I am not perfect and I will not be, but he is. That when I stink like wretched sin, Jesus Christ said, "Here are my clothes of righteousness." I say that this morning because I think sometimes here in the church we forget that people are using all kinds of things to try and cover and cope with their sins, and there is only one that can redeem them. There is only one thing, His blood. There is only one person that can offer you and me the forgiveness of sins, those who need to know it. So that's my redemption story. Turn with me to Psalm 40. I'd like to read that passage and close in prayer before we gather together at the Lord's table for the Lord's Supper. I would encourage you to read through Psalm 40 this week. Make Psalm 40 corporately our passage to abide in, to dwell in. Because there are so many truths in here, I can't expound on them all. But this is one of my life verses. And a life verse stems from either tragedy or triumph. You should have life verses. If you don't, start. Verses that you cling to out of tragedy and out of triumph to give God all of the glory. Psalm 40 verse 1 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the mire, the clay. He set my feet upon a rock, established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in Him. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I were to declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Would you pray with me again this morning as we prepare our hearts to gather together at the Lord's table for His supper and be reminded of His redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Let's pray together this morning. Lord Jesus, my prayer is this. My prayer is this. If someone is here today and they don't know or have not heard about your redemption, that they would clearly understand today that all of us are in sin, whether it's a deep-rooted sin like I was dealing with through my adolescence and teenage years of drugs and alcoholism, or maybe it's a sin that they struggle with on a daily basis. Maybe it's something that we say is a small sin, but every sin, Lord, is sin. And so my prayer here today is that every one of us would realize the redemption we have through Jesus Christ the Lord. Friend, if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ the Lord on the cross of Calvary, who was willing to pour out His blood, shed His blood, the perfect sacrifice for your sin, would you put your faith and trust in Him today? Would you simply say, I'm a sinner who needs to be saved, God. Redeem me today. I seek your forgiveness. The pain and the hurt, the guilt of sin overwhelms me. Save me. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, would you be reminded today that you have a redemption story? And your calling as a believer in Jesus Christ is to point people to Him. And one of the ways you can do that is through your redemption story. And so in our time of prayer here, I ask you, first and foremost, have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? If you say yes, then you have a redemption story to share for His glory. If you say no, then I would prompt you, as the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God works on your heart, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, why would you not share that good news? Why would you not sing that new song? What is keeping you from proclaiming your story of redemption? May I just make a subtle yet pointed suggestion? It's sin. When you and I try to cope and cover up and deal with our own sin, we are separated and we are hidden from God. And we cannot speak to Him, and we will not speak to others about Him. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I pray that you would see your need to share your redemption story. Lord Jesus, as we gather together here at your table this morning, you are worthy. That's why we gather here today. You command us. You say, do this in remembrance of me. And the reason we do this is because you shed your blood. You gave your body, and we have forgiveness of sins because of your grace. And so today, as we gather together in this place and we come to this table, let us be forever reminded of your shed blood and your body broken for us. We take this time seriously. We want you to examine our hearts, that we might come to this table remembering who you are and what you've done. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Once a month at this gathering of believers here at the First Baptist Church, we gather together at the Lord's table for the Lord's Supper. As I said in my prayer, we take this time seriously and solemnly. It's a reminder of Jesus Christ's body broken and given for you. This bread and this cup are reminders. They're symbolic to us that Jesus Christ was willing, obedient, and sacrificially went to the cross for our sins. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, this is in remembrance of Him. We ask you to partake with us. Let the Lord search your heart. Confess any sin if that needs to be, but let your focus be upon Him. His body broken, His blood shed for you. Tony, would you give thanks? Have a great day. You are dismissed.